Shalom, everyone. Israel has struck Iran this last week and hit some 20 different military targets, leaving them bare for their defense. Iran is full of bluster as a result and is threatening Israel again with another attack. Negotiations are underway, this time in Lebanon, for Hezbollah to end the conflict there. And the state of the hostages in Gaza is looking very bleak. UNRWA, the UN agency that's been in Gaza helping the Palestinians, has now officially been outlawed and banned by the Israeli Knesset. That will happen in about 3 months. And UNRWA will not be permitted in Israel nor in Gaza by Israel. Messianic World Update begins now. Hello, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, November the 1st of the year 2024. And here's the news for the week. Last week, in fact, it was the same day that I gave you my last broadcast, Israeli aircraft were launched and they flew over to Iran and attacked some 20 military targets that were in Iran. From a military standpoint, it was a very successful strike on those targets. There was a lot of speculation before the strike as to whether or not Israel might go after their nuclear facilities or their oil facilities. If you recall, the U.S. was urging the great restraint on the part of Israel to be careful of what they go for. They were looking for a measured response to what had happened to them. And so Israel launched 100 aircraft. They involved F-15s, F-35 stealth fighters, F-16s, a couple of tankers, and what's called an AWACS aircraft. That's a radar aircraft that surveys the entire battle area where the aircraft are going in and out. The ordnance that they were carrying were not just standard bombs. They were, in many cases, air-launched ballistic missiles. And this is an ordnance that Israel has developed. Let me explain the nature of the attack. The aircraft were at what we call a standoff range. They never came into the actual airspace of Iran so that they could engage in an air defense battle of that type, but rather standing off at range, they launched these ballistic missiles. Now, the way it works is they came off the airplane just like a regular rocket or missile would come off, but instead of going down to a target, they climbed very high into the altitude, went up over the top of the target, and then came straight down on top of the target in that manner. This was done so they could defeat the air defense capability of the Iranians. Every radar, air defense radar, has a scan where it looks around horizontally, but they don't see right above them. And so by putting their ordnance up above the range of the radar, it came down and there was no way they could defend against the attack. Now, as I said to you, there were some 20 targets that they hit. They hit all of their air defense sites, all of their S-300 Russian air defense weaponry, destroyed all of it. Those were in place around nuclear facilities and government facilities they had, destroyed them, hit some other military targets such as some barracks and so forth. But one particular target is of special note. There was a, quote, secret factory in Iran. It was nestled in the mountains, and the reason they put that in the mountains was so that essentially there was no way to fly in an airplane in the mountains and hit it in a horizontal shot. But from the top, it can be hit. And so they used some of those air-launched ballistic missiles to go in and hit that. Now, that used to be a secret site that was used in their nuclear program, but they moved all the nuclear stuff out. And instead, that became a very special factory for a very critical element for Iran's missile program. The Iranian missiles are liquid-fueled missiles. They are not solid fuel. And to get the kind of rocket fuel that they need, there's a very special ingredient that has to be mixed with the other petroleum product, and that which gives it its rocket fire capability. That particular chemical substance that's put into the fuel for those rockets was being manufactured at that location. Israel destroyed that factory. They have no ability to produce that supplement that goes into the rocket fuel. Therefore, they essentially have no more rocket fuel. And if you don't have rocket fuel, you can't be shooting very many rockets anymore. So basically, they brought their entire rocket manufacturing capability to a standstill by taking out that single point failure in the process of building their weapons. Now, they still have other missiles, and they still have other rockets, and they do have fuel in them. And so it's not like you took all the rockets out, but you took out their ability to build rockets into the future. Now, Iran saw that all the targets were military in nature. They did not strike civilian targets. But the IRGC is very upset about this attack. And so Iran right now is full of bluster. And they're saying that they have to sound tough for their citizens and for the people that they're cooperating with. All their proxies are watching Iran get hit severely by Israel. It's very discouraging. Doesn't support the morale of the Sunni sect of the Muslims. And so they're talking about what they're going to do. So, but the leadership of Iran, particularly their president, and I think Khomeini as well, they don't want another Israeli attack. And the reason is this, is because right now Iran is defenseless against a new Israeli attack. Israel can come over with every sort of weapon they have now, including iron bombs, cruise missiles, and so forth, and they have no ability to stop the attack that comes from Israel. Essentially, they have no shield and no defense whatsoever. But along with that, all that bluster going on, the U.S. has been trying to urge the leadership of Iran, look, let's stop all the hostilities. You had your thing. Israel had their thing. Let's just call it quits at this point. Other nations are saying the same thing to Iran. However, the IRGC has demanded that Khomeini do something because it was their assets that got hit. And the IRGC is very militant, obviously, and wants revenge. So Khomeini yesterday has called for the IRGC to put together another strike against Israel after the U.S. elections. After November 5th, he's given them a green light for another drone and missile attack. And that is what is being suggested at this moment, is essentially an all or nothing, many drones, many missiles being launched. Other options that Iran has is to coordinate that attack along with their proxies in Iraq and Yemen and Hezbollah to launch drones and whatever rocketry they have as well. And I would remind you that some of the drones that have come out of Hezbollah have been successful striking targets in Israel, and it's a real frustrating problem. Yemen does have missiles that can reach the center of Israel, long range, and Iraq every once in a while launches a drone and a missile as well. If all of them join together, it could be a very massive attack, even greater than what we've seen to date being done by Iran. The question is whether or not they'll do it. The real option that is the most fearsome is if they were to do something like that and match it with the ground forces coming across the northern borders into Israel from Syria and Iraq. That would be a very, very difficult position for Israel to defend. Now, I'm not going to speculate on that a whole lot further as to what that would be about, but I do want to repeat to you a quote from Lieutenant General Hirsi Halevi, who is the chief of staff for the IDF. When he heard about the discussion that Iran may be thinking about launching another massive strike, here's what he said. If Iran makes the mistake of launching another missile barrage at Israel, we will once again know how to reach Iran with capabilities that we did not even use this time and strike very, very hard at both their capabilities and locations we set aside for now. So essentially what he has said is if Iran wants to do another round of launching missiles and another attack, that Israel already has their targets selected and they intend to hit them even harder than the way they were hit this recent time. Now, Israel's attack of this last week was quite honestly devastating, and in military science terms, it was perfect. I can only imagine what Israel would be doing further to a host of other targets. Would their nuclear program come into play? Would their oil facilities come into play? Would other targets come into play? Well, according to Halevi, he says they would. We'll just have to wait and see to see what will Iran do next. Let's talk about the fighting with Hezbollah in Lebanon. IDF ground forces are continuing to push the Hezbollah forces back north, away from the border, and they've had a major success in doing that. However, Hezbollah has been launching more and more rockets and drone attacks into Israel, and they have not all been shot down, and there have been multiple casualties in Israel doing so. The whole northern part of Israel is having multiple casualties. Major cities are being hit, and people are getting either lax and not getting into the bomb shelters. But in any case, many civilians are getting hurt. Even IDF soldiers are being killed by these elements. If there's going to be a ceasefire with Hezbollah and Lebanon, and by the way, the U.S. and other nations are working on that, then the IDF has said that we're going to have to occupy the southern part of Lebanon and enforce the southern border so that Hezbollah doesn't come right back into that ground. So the IDF is basically saying, if we have a ceasefire, IDF is not going to withdraw from the positions they are in. They're going to hold those positions. The hope is, on the part of the negotiators, is if we can get a Hezbollah ceasefire, that maybe Hamas will say, well, there's no reason for us to continue either. Hezbollah was always supporting us. If they're going to have a ceasefire, I guess it's okay for us to have a ceasefire. They're hoping a Hezbollah ceasefire leads to a Hamas ceasefire, which brings us to the hostage negotiations for the hostages still in Gaza. Because of the disruption to the leadership of Hamas, because of the surrogates that are standing in and speaking for Hamas, but quite honestly have no decision-making power over Hamas and the Hamas narrative that's going on in Gaza, the prospects are diminishing for the release of the hostages. Now, since the battle began with Gaza, there's always been this overwhelming belief that the hostages taken, they will make it back. At some point, they will be returned. And we've always operated in the negotiations about getting them back and the belief they will do it. But right now, my friends, the reality in Gaza is not moving that way. The latest intel report says that they believe there's less than 24 hostages still alive. And I would like to remind everybody that even in defeat, Hamas remains extremely evil. And they don't do logical things that regular people would do. They are hell-bent on destruction and bloodshed. And right now, if you roll the dice, the probability that they'll go ahead and kill the remaining hostages actually is in the probability zone. Now, I pray that that won't happen. I pray that somehow it'll go the other way. And I'd like to remind you all just how evil Hamas is. That October 7th attack, when they came across the border with Israel and they attacked all those kibbutz down there in southern Israel and they killed all of those people, did you know that those were the Jewish communities that were supporting the Palestinians in Gaza? They were the ones hiring people. They were the ones cooperating. They were the voices inside of Israel promoting that Israel should be kind to the Palestinians in Gaza and cooperate with the people in Gaza. They were actually supporting the Palestinians in Gaza. Those were the ones, those were the Israelis that Hamas decided to kill. So it just goes to show you the nature of evil that exists with regard to Hamas and within the Palestinian ranks. We've also learned, and Israel finally took action on this, the UNRWA, the UNRWA organization that has been in Gaza for many years, set up by the UN. It was a relief agency to come in and assist the Palestinian people to rebuild their community and build schools and other things of that nature. You know, it was the UN, and nations have been pouring money into the UN through that organization to help. Well, it turns out all they've ever done is poured money into Hamas. As a result of the battle and the war in Gaza and the capturing of intelligence and so forth, it turns out that Anwar has really been a wing of Hamas. Hamas operatives and leaders have all been part of the Anwar staff. And in fact, if you take the Anwar employee roles, you are looking at the IDF's most wanted list of Hamas terrorists. The schools being run by Anwar have been training children to become Hamas fighters. They've found the literature, they've found the materials. In fact, the leading principal of one of the biggest schools there in Gaza was the Hamas operative coordinating the shipment of weapons from Hezbollah into Gaza. He was the guy that was behind the real logistics of arming Hamas. He was the principal of this UN school that was doing it. Hamas, of course, has been stealing all the aid packages that come in and the humanitarian relief. They take those packages and then they sell that stuff on the black market to the Palestinian people at outrageous prices so they can collect money to pay for all of their operations. Now, here's the irony of the whole situation with Israel banning Anwar. And by the way, the ban takes effect in 3 months. Everybody in the world, the UN, they're all upset about the action that Israel has taken. They're insisting that Israel stop that, not do that, leave Anwar alone. They're doing so despite the overwhelming evidence that Hamas has compromised the Anwar mission and they've used it for their own gain. And yet the UN wants to continue to have the organization continue to do exactly what's been done in the past, let the Palestinians run it, use the money however they want, and not accomplish the goals of what Anwar was supposed to do. Well, that just goes to show you how decrepit and how morally bankrupt the UN is with regard to this. They know full well Anwar is doing harm to Israel, not actually aiding the Palestinian people, actually fomenting more hatred against Israel. Here in the United States, we're coming up on the U.S. elections this next Tuesday. And voting has already begun, early voting in many states. The press is now talking about the amount of early voting going on. And I can just simply tell you that the whole world is awaiting the results of the election. Even the Iranians are saying we won't have a counterstrike until after November 5th, after the U.S. elections. Even Iran pays attention to the U.S. elections. What is at stake for the world is a choice for the American people to decide more of the same, in other words, a continuation of the Biden foreign policies, or a complete change in direction, which would come by the other candidate for it. So we all, as well as the world, we're waiting to see the results that will come from the U.S. election. When I come to you the next broadcast, we'll have those results and we'll talk about the implications of that at that time. Some of our broadcasts from Messianic World Update, we post onto social media platforms to go out to you. But we have noticed there have been occasions when we put our broadcast out on Friday night, it doesn't show up. It's not posted. And we've checked into it to find out that there is some sort of algorithm, there's some sort of AI thing that it scans our broadcast, and if they see a keyword or something they don't like, they block putting up the broadcast. And so the broadcast doesn't go up for you to see on these social media platforms. That's the reason why, guys, that we've built lionandlamb.tv as a completely different subscription service. And that's the reason why that if you connect with this ministry and we get your email, we can email directly the broadcast to you, and or you can go to our program, which is lionandlamb.tv. Now, there is a free level. All you have to do is subscribe and you will get some free elements. And anything we post each week is free. So you can go directly to our site, get Messianic World Update, and you don't have to worry about the consternation of whatever the other social media platforms are doing. We built that expressly because we can see this coming. Oh, by the way, the social media platforms are not just picking on Lion and Lamb Ministries. There are political sites that they are being blocked and censored. There's other religious sites. They're being blocked and censored. So it's across the board. This is what's going on with the internet. And it's becoming very clear, if you want to get your news of this type off of the internet, you've got to go to the sites that are set up that protect it and will ensure it gets to you. If you'd use the common open ones of social media, there could be disruptions in it. So we encourage you to join lionandlamb.tv so you don't miss any of our episodes or any of our broadcasts. Obviously, I'm going to ask you to pray for Israel, as we have before. Pray for the release of the remaining hostages so that they might be able to come home. Pray for our upcoming elections. The world is hanging in the balance, and we're getting ready to see which way the world's going to go based on who will be the new president and the new government here in the United States. Thank you again for viewing this program. Thank you again for your prayer support, financial contributions, and so forth. Shabbat shalom to all of you.